It just slipped.
Man, that's insulting.
It slipped.
Yeah. Even so, that's a bit low. I know I'm short, but you know, diamonds come in small packages, and so does dynamite, Steve. Right. Into the Word of God. What a privilege it is to have the Word of God and to be able to share it together. A reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tāna kupu kia tātou. Our Holy Gospel is from St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamomiti te karoria ki te atua. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Te rongapai tene a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamaumi titi ia te kupu mana.
No, I'm good, thanks. It's a bit short for me, yeah. Good morning, everybody. It is so nice. This is my first time preaching at St. Luke's, like, ever. So I'm pretty excited. I'll try and rein it in just a little bit, because I get rather enthusiastic. But I had a wonderful opportunity in this past week to go and share something of myself and my faith journey with the ladies at the AAW. And we had a wonderful afternoon tea there together. And I'm going to give you a bit of the short version of what I told them just to get me started, and so that you can get to know me a little bit. Because interestingly, perhaps, for someone who's wearing one of these, I didn't grow up in a church-going family. But about at the age of 16, I came to a very quick realization that life was going downhill pretty fast for me. And I had a sense that I was kind of losing my true self, and that life was going off track. And I just thought, there's got to be something better than this. I just felt there was something more to life than what I was experiencing. And so I sort of thought, you know, I wonder if I should give that God thing a go. And so my grandparents went to a little Anglican church, our local Anglican church, and my girlfriend went to a big Pentecostal church. And I thought, well, tell you what, I'll form a plan. If God exists, like some people say he does, and if he's interested in me, like some people say he is, then I'll give him 24 hours to prove it. I'll go to church in the morning, and I'll go to church in the evening, and I'll go with an open heart and an open mind. And, you know, if God shows up, well, wow, this could be the change that I've been looking for in my life. And if he doesn't, well, I've answered one of life's big questions and I've only wasted a day. So that's pretty good as well. So it was kind of like a win-win sort of situation. And so I went along to church morning and evening. And that evening, they offered prayer, just like we do here every Sunday morning after church. We offer prayer. And I asked someone to pray for me. And as they prayed for me, I experienced the presence of God with me. And with that experience of the presence of God came a deep awareness of his love for me and his grace and kindness towards me. And I was set free from things in my life, and it was literally a before and after kind of experience. You know, in church circles, we call that a conversion experience, and that's wonderful, a transformative experience, but the transformation doesn't stop with that experience. We also have another word in the church called sanctification, which is the ongoing transformation of our lives that happens after we invite God in. The Holy Spirit comes in and starts to transform our lives. Amazing. And so the first 5-6 months of this journey with God was just incredible. There was so much that I wanted to see changed in my life, so much that I wanted to see transformed. I had a few issues, it would be fair to say, and so I was often, pretty much every week, I'd be up seeking prayer, and you know, the whole prayer ministry team knew me by name, and I'd go up, and every time it would be like I'd just like lay something more of my life down before God, and God would come and I'd feel that area of my life transformed, and I'd feel freer to live life more fully. And this kind of continued on week after week until after about 5 or 6 months, I felt pretty sorted with God. I was like, this is good. I'm in a good place. My friends were like, wow, you've changed so much since becoming a Christian, and you know, it's amazing. And I was in a pretty good place. But then odd things started to happen. Like, I'd be at church and there'd be a sermon, or I'd be praying in my own time or worshipping, and I'd feel God would just kind of like reach into my life and put his hand on certain areas of my life and say, what about this area, Ben? Would you lay this area of your life down for me? Would you give up control of this area of your life? And I'd be kind of like, I kind of like a bit of that. I've kind of been doing that for a long time. It sort of feels like it's part of me. You know, I feel very comfortable with it. Surely it's not that bad. And the only response I'd usually get from God at that point in time would be, And I'd kind of go away and I'd kind of wrestle with that for a little bit. And I'd go, and I'd be like, okay, all right, let's give it a go. God, I invite you into this area of my life. I lay it down. Come and transform it if you want. And he would. And the thing was, is there would always be that sense of being set free into something better, like a renewal of that area of my life. And I was like, well, that was really good. And then inevitably, you know, 6 months down the track, I'd be in worship or prayer or something, and I'd feel God put his hand in another area of my life and go, what about that area, Ben? I'd be like, really? That's just kind of part of my personality, isn't it? That's just who I am. Surely it's not that bad. And again, God's response would usually be something like, And I'd wrestle with it for a while, and eventually I'd usually come to a point where I was like, okay, sure. I'll lay down this area of my life. I'll invite you in to transform and renew this area of my life. And God would. And inevitably, it would be better. It would be a sense of living life more fully as a result, being more fully who I was really created to be as a result. And this kind of continued up and down throughout the whole last, well, a long time of my Christian walk. Let's not give my age away completely. But a long time. You know, and one of the bad news this morning is that this transformation process, this sanctification process, is unfortunately a lifelong process. Well, that's been my experience anyway. But also the good news is that this transformation process is a lifelong process. God is always present and ready to work in our lives, putting his hand on certain things and inviting us into a life that is more full and rich and deep and full of love and grace than perhaps we're experiencing right now. So I want you to keep that in mind as we look at our gospel reading today. And I want to take just a bit of a brief wander through it. And I want to point out some highlights along the way, because I think it would be easy to read this passage and kind of get the wrong end of the stick with this interaction between Jesus and the rich young ruler. So I'm just going to run through it quickly, if that's okay. Bearing in mind that thing I've said about the transformative journey. So Jesus is teaching, and a young man who's wealthy seeks him out and says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, I just want to pause there, because in our Western Christian mode of thinking, it would be really easy to make the mistake of thinking that what this young man is asking is, "Jesus, what do I need to do to get a ticket to heaven?" But that's not what he's asking, because he's not a Western Christian, is he? He's a Middle Eastern Jewish young man. And in their worldview, what he's actually asking is, what do I need to do to experience the fullness of life now and always? And Jesus says to him, great question. I mean, you know how God calls you to live, right? You know the commandments. You've grown up in Jewish culture. You know the Torah. You know the commandments of God. You know how you're called to live. And he goes, yep, I know. I know how to live. I know all the religious observances. I keep the commandments. I'm doing the right thing. But I don't know if you picked it up when you heard it before. There's kind of like a but, isn't there? It's kind of like, yeah, I'm doing all the good religious stuff, but I feel like there should be more to life than what I'm experiencing. And I don't know if you've experienced that as a Christian. I reckon you probably have if you've been walking with God for any length of time. I certainly have. Where you feel like, I'm doing all the right things. I'm, you know, reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm going to church, I'm serving, I'm giving, I'm bringing kindness into the world, I'm loving others, I'm loving God. But I just feel like there's something more. Something perhaps I'm not getting. Like we've got this promise, this invitation to life in all its fullness, and I'm just not quite feeling it. Have you ever had that? Am I talking to a room that's like, no, don't know what you're talking about? Yeah, you got that? Good, great, great, okay, great. We're all on the same page. Excellent. So here's the next bit that I don't want you to miss. So basically the guy said, you know, yeah, I've been keeping the commandments, but I still don't feel like I'm quite living into the fullness of life that I feel God offers us. And I love this bit, and I don't want you to miss it, because it's really important to this whole passage. It says that Jesus looked upon him with love. So everything that Jesus is about to say, he is speaking in love into this young man's life. And Jesus says to him, yep, you're doing well, but there's one thing you lack. And Jesus reaches into his life and puts his hand on his attachment to wealth and says, will you give that up? Will you invite me into that? Will you lay it down and let me transform your life? And it says that the man turns away and walks away sad because he's pretty attached to his material wealth. And Jesus has put his hand on the problem, hasn't he? And Jesus says, you know, see, I reckon when the guy's walking away, Jesus is still looking at him in love. Jesus is like, it's tough for people who are wealthy to really experience the fullness of life. It's hard not to develop an attachment to our material possessions. And now the disciples are a bit shocked, right? They're like, whoa, who can be saved then? Because again, in that culture, as slightly in our culture, if you are wealthy, it's because God's blessed you, right? Like, what better example of God's blessing could there be than having a lot of material possessions? And here Jesus is saying, lay them all down. So they're like, well, if wealthy guys have been blessed by God with all their wealth, can't be saved, then who can be saved? And Jesus just makes this point. It's impossible to bring about this deep transformation of our lives in our own strength. But with God, it's possible. And then Peter stumps up, because Peter's always got a word to say, doesn't he? So Peter stumps up and he goes, yeah, no, we left everything to follow you. Yeah. Yeah. And Jesus said, yeah, that's great, but it's not the wealth thing for everybody. For some people, it will be the difficulty in laying down family relationships. Oof. That's like heresy in Jewish culture, isn't it? Family is everything. You know, and for each of us, it's something different. The thing that God might put his hand on in my life, you might not struggle with at all. The thing that he puts his hand upon in your life, I might not struggle with at all. But there's usually something holding us back, isn't there? You know, it might be money. It might be we really like our material possessions. It might be that we do really like a comfortable family life. You know, it might be that God puts his hands on how we spend our spare time. We like a bit of me time. Nothing wrong with that, is there, God? Maybe. You know, our own hopes and dreams. Where we want our kids to go to school, where we choose to live, all these decisions in our lives, it's possible that God might put his hand on one and go, would you lay that down for me? And that is the challenge of what it means to follow Jesus, isn't it? As Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Those who want to hold on to their lives will lose them. but those who lay down their lives for my sake will find what it truly means to live. And now, while that's very challenging, what I want to do is I want to finish on the invitation from Jesus. That just like Jesus, just the same way in which Jesus looked at that young man, rich young man, in love, the same way he looked upon me in love and has been on that journey with me, God looks upon you with love. And he's inviting you to lay things down, not out of obligation, or not because he's telling you what to do, not because he's mad at you, but because he loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He knows what it means to live life in all its fullness. And through his grace and kindness, he wants to invite you to experience life more fully and to be the people that we were created to be. That is the invitation and good news of the gospel. Me and the family, we've just moved in down in Pihi Kupa 2 weeks ago. And just as we were moving in, one of our neighbours came and said hi to us and welcomed us to the neighbourhood, which was wonderful. And he's actually here today, which is great. We were having a cup of tea this week. And he said that he received a Bible when he was young. And in the front of this Bible, he could still remember the verse in the front of his Bible that someone had written in it for him. And he wanted to share it with me. And as he did, I was just reminded of this. And I was like, ah, yes. And the verse he shared with me came from Matthew. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lay down your life, take up my life upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you'll find rest for your souls. I wonder if I might just ask the worship team, Julian and Summer and Jacob, to come back on up. And we're going to respond in worship, and we're going to meet with God at the communion table, and you are welcome to come. But just as we do, just as they come, shall we just stand and allow the Holy Spirit to move in this place? Now, as I was speaking today, probably there'll be some of you who are like, ah, yep. Yeah, I've known for a while that God was putting his hand upon a certain area of my life. Thanks for reminding me, Ben. And today I want you to know that God is looking upon you with love and extending an invitation to you to lay something down so that God may renew and restore areas of your life where he wants you to experience life more fully. It's an invitation from God. The invitation is extended with grace and kindness and the deep knowing that God has of each one of us. Maybe you'd never thought about it before like that, but even as you're just standing here in the presence of God now, you're feeling like, ah, I can feel God putting his hand on certain things in my life, and I'd like to lay them down. So let me pray, and then I'll just hand us over to the worship team, and we can worship and pray together here in the amazing presence of God. God, we thank you that you look upon each one of us in love. that you just hold the key to living life fully now and eternally. Lord, I pray that through your grace and your kindness towards us, you would help us to trust you, to lay down our lives once more, and to take up the fullness of life that is offered in you. Help us, Lord, not to go away sad from this gathering this morning, but to go away rejoicing, set free, transformed, renewed, healed, blessed. Lord, we bring our lives before you now. Search our hearts and let us know your ways.
Heart abandoned in awe of one. Let us take a moment to enjoy the presence of God now as we come to the table. You are invited to share in this cup, to eat this bread. You are invited to dwell with God this day and always. Thanks for all that has been offered, the offerings at the table today, the offerings of our lives and our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would take all that is offered today and that you would use it and us for your glory.